locations or head to agproco.com.
Step inside the press box on 105.5 The Roar.
You can do anything. You can say anything you want to say.
Now back to Brad and Ben.
Well, welcome back to George Coleman Ford here in Traveler's Rest, where cars do cost less. Come by and see us today. I got some folks out here having some breakfast, enjoying some coffee, some Bojangles biscuits. We want to see you out here today as well, right here at George Coleman Ford in Traveler's Rest. Lots to do today, and right before we went to break, we told you that there was a little flippage going on. Dwan Mathis, the four-star quarterback out of Belleville, Michigan. Zach, what time zone is that in? Look that up for me. He's 6'6", 205-pound pro-style QB, and it looks like he's headed to Georgia. What does that mean for Justin Fields? It'll be very interesting. All right, let's break down a little bit more on Clemson's 25-player class currently right now. We'll bring on our good friend from Clemson 24/7, Anna Hickey. Look, if you want to know anything about recruiting or anything about Clemson in general, why are you not following Anna Hickey on Twitter at AnnaH247? Make sure you follow her right now. Keep up with all that's going on with this class. She's got all kinds of stories up on Clemson247Sports.com. Go check that out as well. Good morning, Anna. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. I know it is a very busy day, so I really appreciate you taking some time out to help us take a look at this class for the Clemson Tigers. Anna, let's get right to something we talked about. We led the show off with 25 players already in, Clemson waiting on Joseph Nagata, and kind of put the bow on this thing this quickly. I talked to you yesterday. Clemson had 24 commitments as of yesterday, and expected to sign all 24 of those players today. Kind of put that in perspective. I know we got this early signing period, things have changed a little bit, but what does that say about Clemson's philosophy, their recruiting ability, to have that many commitments and get every one of them to sign during the early signing period?
Right. It is a big deal, and it's pretty unique in college football. I know the early signing period has only been around 2 years. Last year was the first year. And Clemson signed all 12 of their current commitments at the time during the early signing period, which is a big deal then. But for Clemson to be on pace to sign all 24, which is double the amount from last year, is huge. And I was looking at the top 10 currently ranked recruiting classes right now, and only Oregon can say that they might sign all their presently committed players during the early signing period. I think Notre Dame might be one, too, but they don't have a top 10 class. So it's definitely very unique. And then when you factor in the fact that Clemson has a top 10 recruiting class, it becomes even more unique.
It really is. It kind of blew my mind. And they happened so quickly. They all came in very, very fast. Let's go ahead and get to some of the news that did happen today, starting with Tyler Davis, the defensive lineman, getting in out of Apopka, Florida. How big was he in terms of how tight was he with Clemson? Were you a little surprised when the four-star defensive lineman made his announcement to the Tigers?
No, I wasn't. This was one that I'd been anticipating for a while, since October, actually. Clemson, this was the one where Clemson seemed like they had the lead for a while, but he elected to not announce until today. So Clemson felt good about their chances for the past couple of months, but you never really know, especially when you have a team like Florida State in its backyard that continues to make advances deep into the cycle. Ohio State was considered the leader for Davis for a while, and then Clemson kind of took the momentum over the summer. And then towards the end of the summer, entering the season, Florida State emerged. Those three teams were kind of the teams going into the season. Then Ohio State fell off, and it really kind of developed into a head-to-head battle between Clemson and Florida State. And I think Clemson's culture, coupled with the job that defensive tackles coach Todd Bates did here, really was what sealed the deal. And then, of course, Florida State has kind of struggled on the field, a little bit of coaching uncertainty that factored in as well. But this is a huge get for Clemson, top 24/7 player. And he's definitely, I think, pretty easily Clemson's highest-rated defensive line by need of cycle.
And what kind of player is he? Is he? I mean, he's got the size already, I think, to compete. 6 foot one, 293 pounds. Could we see him on the field getting meaningful playing time a year from now?
I think so. He's projected as a nose, and Clemson's obviously going to be losing quite a few guys along the defensive line, especially in the interior. And Clemson's other commitments in this class along the defensive line, three of them project either inside or outside. Tyler is definitely one that projects inside, so and he's enrolling early, so he'll arrive in January and have a chance to kind of compete and grow and develop at Clemson from the start. So I think you could see him push for, not being redshirted next season.
All right, what about some other things we're still waiting on? Joseph Nagata, fully expected to sign with Clemson. When do you think they're going to get his fax?
Yeah, not to correct you because I was pronouncing it wrong too, but the G is silent, so I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it's
Nada.
Last name.
Yeah.
Nada. Yeah. He is expected to send over his LOI anytime now, and I don't think he's announcing as far as a ceremony until later tonight. But he did text me this morning that he's sending over his LOI at 7:00 a.m., which is going to be 10:00 here. And there's no drama there. The only reason he hasn't sent it in yet is because of that time difference. And I will have a feature story on him later today that I think fans will really enjoy reading. His parents are from Africa, came to the United States kind of sight unseen to further their education, and planned on going back to Africa, but like the United States and the opportunities that it afforded them here, they decided to stay. So pretty unique backstory, and I think Nada will develop into definitely continuing the trend of wide receiver U so far. He joins with Frank Gladson to give Clemson two top five wide receivers this class, and no other firm in the country can claim that.
Pronunciation's not the only problem we've had today. We've had plenty of issues with the time difference in different time zones and trying to figure out when these kids are going to make it official. What about the Caleb Boateng offensive lineman that Clemson kind of fell on yesterday? What happened with that? Why did Clemson come in late on him, and what need is he filling?
Just the way the numbers shook out offensive line, it's kind of been a scurry down the stretch to figure out how Clemson's offensive line haul is going to come together. And, still not done. There could be another announcement going Clemson's way tomorrow. But back to Caleb, I think he had always had an interest in Clemson, and Clemson and him were communicating during the season. I know he and Robbie Caldwell had a relationship. But there was definitely a period of time this fall where communication kind of lapsed, and it looked like he was going to be going elsewhere. He was never really a major target on Clemson's board until later in the cycle. He actually was going to decide between FAU, Maryland, and Arizona until last Friday when he's sitting in the terminal about to take his official visit to Arizona, and he gets a phone call from Brent Venables who says, "Hey, send me your transcripts. I think we're going to offer." He hopped on the phone FaceTime actually with Dabo Swinney and Brent Venables later that night while in Arizona on his official, and that's kind of when the formal offer came. I believe he committed the next day to Brent Venables and kept it under wraps this entire time, and then it kind of came to light yesterday that Clemson was sneaking this guy into the class, and he plays left tackle. He started 13 games at left tackle this season, didn't allow a sack. We got some pretty good competition, but at Clemson I believe he projects as an interior offensive lineman.
Interesting. That was like you said, they were maybe waiting on some others, waiting to see how some things kind of went into place, and it sounds like they needed to make that move on him, and they landed him, Caleb Boateng, out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. All right, what's the latest on a couple other guys? William Putnam expected to announce, I believe, tomorrow. Is that still on as far as you know? And what are you projecting on him? You hear Florida State, you hear Clemson still involved. What do you think Putnam ends up doing?
Yes, he is supposed to announce tomorrow at 1 p.m. As of today, this is straight from him. So this is the latest that we have. The timeline has changed so much during the past week and has kept getting pushed back. Originally, he was supposed to sign on Thursday but announce a decision ahead of time. And now it looks like he'll do both at the same time. And it's anybody's best guess right now where he ends up. This isn't a kid that's fishing for attention and just kind of wants to wait till the 11th hour just so all eyes are on him. he wants the decision to be done, and if he knew where he was going, I believe he would have already announced it by now. Like you said, it's between Clemson, Florida State, and Auburn. I think it's pretty much right now between Clemson and Florida State, and this one could go either way. I do. My crystal ball is on cloudy, and I feel like that's currently the best representative of where I think things are right now. Cloudy, for those that don't know, it just kind of means it could go either way. I'm unsure of my pick right now. So I think Florida State is the leader on the crystal ball, but Director of Recruiting at 24/7 Sports, Steve Wiltfong, still has him landing at Clemson. So depending on who you ask, he could be trending one direction or another, but I think bottom line is that he still doesn't know where he's going. So right now it's still just a bunch of hearsay.
It'll be interesting to see. I know there's been some concern about Clemson's offensive line recruiting class for this cycle. Where are you with that? Do you share some of these concerns I've heard from various people? Do you think maybe that's a little overreaction? I know there's a pretty good class building for next year, but would Putnam change some things in terms of where this offensive line class is right now?
Oh, absolutely. Putnam would really change the landscape. I mean, this is a kid, a top 24/7 kid, four-star, that projects multiple spots along the offensive line, center, or guard. And he would pair with Hunter Rayburn, who's a high three-star, low four-star type of prospect that also will play along the interior. And those are two really good interior players that would be coming to Clemson. So it's really hard to kind of assess Clemson's offensive line haul right now because it's not done. And I think tackle, that's going to be a priority for Clemson leading up until National Signing Day because they did not get that need filled right now. So, again, you can't really speak on the whole offensive line haul until we hear about Putnam and then hear about who they get at offensive tackle.
Interesting. Yes, things not quite done. Speaking of that, what about Quaveris Crouch? What are you hearing on him? I know he's going to wait till next month to announce. Anything you can update on his decision-making right now?
Yeah, he's pretty much between Tennessee and Clemson right now. Michigan is still hanging around, but I think it'll be Tennessee or Clemson. And Tennessee definitely has a surge of momentum right now. Jeremy Pruitt went in home last week. That was potentially, I think, a very defining moment in his recruitment. Got him on campus this past weekend on kind of a secret type of visit. And I think it depends on, he has a lot of different people around him, and it depends kind of on what voices he listens to, his coaches, family members, a lot of different influences around him right now. Some want Clemson, some want Tennessee, some are leaving the decision totally up to him. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how it unfolds in the end, but right now I do think Tennessee is the favorite.
All right, so how many more do you think Clemson could end up adding as we get into February? Still a couple months away. 25 now, right now, 26 expected with Joseph Nadasen's in his paperwork. How many more realistically can they take?
I think you look at it more as needs, a position-based, more so than, all right, well, they're definitely going to get to this number, or this is the number they can take. So they want another running back to complement Malusi, who they already signed today. And then they want another edge rusher, kind of pass rusher who could play outside linebacker or defensive end. And then they want an offensive tackle and then maybe potentially another interior lineman.
All right, so kind of sum up this class for us. Anna Hickey joining us from Clemson 24/7. Just in turn, you know, does it fit? Is this the kind of class that you expected Clemson to sign in terms of their need, their culture, all that? Does all that kind of fit and go well together with the 25 names they've already signed?
Yeah, I think absolutely. You look at this class and the guys at the top, Andrew Booth, Frank Ladson, Sheridan Jones, Brian Constantine, Joseph Charleston. I mean, they're the top five players right there. I mean, they're all Clemson fits. You just go down the list, and that's really what you see from top to bottom. None of these players visited elsewhere, to my knowledge. They definitely didn't take official visits after they committed to Clemson. So right there is your sign that, you know, they're all in, they're locked in, and you really didn't have to worry too much down the stretch about them not being totally sure of their decision with Clemson. And I think that's one of the tall tale decisions right there if you're signing the right guys for your program. And then there's a lot, and this is a huge class. I mean, especially Clemson standard, they didn't even break 20 the past 2 years. So a lot of different personalities, different skill sets, a lot of versatility. Obviously, linebacker was a point of emphasis. Defensive line was a point of emphasis. Defensive back was. So I think Clemson did a good job of kind of covering all of their needs. And like you said, I mean, this isn't it. It's still going to continue, and we'll still have a chance to kind of let the dust settle after this early signing period, see who signs, see who doesn't, see what new names emerge, and then kind of go from there, reassess their needs, and attack those and try to land those guys by early signing or by National Signing Day.
Very impressive class for the Clemson Tigers. Impressive work, Anna Hickey. You're doing a really good job. I know you're super busy, so we really appreciate the time that you were able to take out of your schedule and spend with us. Listen, again, follow Anna on Twitter, at AnnaH247. Go to Clemson.247sports.com. Anna, you mentioned the Not A Story coming up. What else can we look for over the course of the next few days as you kind of put the bow on this early signing day?
Soon move to Notre Dame prep. Most of the recruiting stuff has been towards the lead up, but we'll have another story later, and then we hear from Dabo Sweeney at 1 p.m. So interested to kind of get his take on a couple of guys in this class, and we'll have that coverage.
Great stuff, as always. Anna, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Hope you have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Take care. Anna Hickey from Clemson 24/7. Getting it done, as always, on the recruiting trail. She hits it really. I mean, she's as good as anybody out there, knows everything about these kids, really puts in a lot of time and effort. So give her a follow on Twitter, at NIH247. We'll take another break. When we come back, more live from George Coleman Ford. We'll talk more about the recruiting class updates on the Gamecocks. We've got Helma Granahan coming up later this hour from the Big Spur. Don't go anywhere here on the Press Box. Back after this.
Homeowners and landscapers choose EnviroMulch, a locally owned, environmentally friendly company. They supply quality organic mulches, soil, sand, and stone for every landscaping application, delivery, or pickup. Nobody beats their prices. EnviroMulchOnline.com.
Are you ready to go all in on a car? Granger Nissan knows what car will fit you and your family because they are a leader in the market with competitive inventory. They have everything for everyone. Granger Nissan is a family business, so they know the importance of taking care of the ones we love on the road. You can drive with confidence and ease because Granger Nissan has all new vehicles with a lifetime powertrain warranty. Granger Nissan is not just in the car business, they're in the people business. Stop by Granger Nissan of Anderson on 3510 Clemson Boulevard.
Treat your lady to a day of complete relaxation and rejuvenation at Lilia Day Spa, Anderson's premier spa. Their therapists are ready to restore her mind, body, and spirit in a relaxing and private environment. She'll love the rejuvenating facial, skin, and nail therapy, and many other services. A gift certificate from Lilia Day Spa is ideal for any occasion and shows her you care. This holiday, treat her to Lilia Day Spa, 116 Benson Street, downtown Anderson. Lilia Day Spa, Anderson's premier spa.
Looking for the perfect gift for someone on your list? Grab them a 2019 Twin Peaks calendar for just $15.99, featuring more than 80 Twin Peaks girls from around the country. The Timber Lodge Hideaway does not disappoint. Come check out what we've been up to this year. Available for purchase in-store and online at TwinPeaksRestaurant.com/shop. Get your Twin Peaks calendar and grab a 29-degree draft at Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road in Greenville.
I'm Kristen Bennett. The professionals at Bennett Equipment rent and sell link belt excavators at 3 upstate locations, Greenville, Spartanburg, and now in Seneca. Link belt equipment sets the industry standard for performance and reliability. Bennett also rents, sells, and services many other types of construction equipment with the service you expect and deserve. Call today, 864-277-7272, or visit us at BennettEquipment.net. And remember, if you need to rent it from Bennett.
If you are in need of eye care and would like a more personal experience, consider Westminster Vision. We are locally owned and staffed with 3 convenient locations to serve you in Clemson, Pendleton, and of course, Westminster. We offer a large selection of eyewear and all types of medical care, even on Saturdays. So for quick, reasonable service you can trust, call us for an appointment at 646-3535.
There's no one like you, and this fall, Pandora Jewelry lets you show that to the world with over 150 rings to choose from. Crafted from sterling silver, Pandora rose, or 14 karat gold. Now Turner's carries the Pandora University charms so you can show your team spirit. And Turner's has the new Groove brand silicone Tiger Paw band and has the only selection of Levion in the tri-state area. It's all happening at Turner's Jewelers in the Applewood Center Place in Seneca or online at turnersjewelers.com.
You have cracks in your driveway, sidewalk, or settling pool decks? Why tear it out when you can lift it? Canty Foundation Specialists can raise concrete slabs back to its original position using our patented PolyLevel process. Call Canty today at 864-475-1671. Don't replace it, raise it. 475-1671 or visit us at CantyFoundationSC.com.
Step inside the press box on 105.5 The Roar.
That's what she said.
Now back to Brad and Ben.
Welcome back to George Coleman Ford here in Traveler's Rest. All of WCCP shows are going to be out here today. You heard Mickey earlier this morning. The press box out here until noon. And then Qualk and Kelly are going to take over noon to 3 before Walt Deptul and Road Rage step in from 3 to 7. So a full day talking recruiting, talking early signing day here at George Coleman Ford. We appreciate them having us, hosting us, and come out here and check out cars for less in Traveler's Rest, trucks for less in Traveler's Rest as well. Before we get going back into this segment, I want to tell you about Optinos. Another good gift here. If you know somebody who's trying to get bigger biceps, trying to increase their bench press, trying to get more lean body mass, well, then this is the product for you. 75 to 90% of the protein you're taking is wasted. It's not even used for the muscle building. So get Optinos, which is going to work genetically to redirect that protein directly to your muscles. Clinical trials have shown a 12-time increase in arm size and a 3-time increase in that lean body mass compared to a placebo. So experience Optinos today. You go to upstatemuscle.com. That's upstatemuscle.com. And you get $10 off your first order. And you're going to find out a lot more about the product and all that it has to offer. So make sure you go there, upstatemuscle.com. You want to get in today, 654-7627. We could take some calls this segment if you'd like. Coming up next segment, Hel McGranahan will be joining us from the Big Spur to break down South Carolina's recruiting class. I know they've gotten, I believe, now 15 in, and they're still waiting on, I believe, 3 more. While we were at break, it was made official. Joe Nada, that big receiver out of California, Folsom, California, has now officially joined the fold. 6'3", 210-pound, 4-star receiver. Could even get a 5th star. I've heard that rumor at some point. I don't know if that's still on the table. But not a really, really good player. Could, I think, definitely fit right in right away. He's probably, I know you look at Frank Ladson, he's sort of the Mike Williams type. He's big, he's rangy, he's long, he high points the ball really well, uses his body, even though he's not big yet. Ladson's only about 186, he's got a long way to go, but he uses his body to kind of shield the defender, and just kind of understands, I think, the little instinctual things that a receiver needs to do to win those one-on-one battles. Nada's kind of the guy, I mean, he can really do just about anything. They can line him up in a lot of different places. He's got a lot of speed in the open field, a lot of moves. I think he's going to fit in really well to what Clemson wants to do. But they just added a 6'4 and a 6'3, two wide receivers, along with Brandon Spector, the 6'1. So they basically got a basketball team out there, Zach Orr.
That's always a welcome sight for Tony Elliott and Jeff Scott, right, to have those kind of players to be able to use at your disposal. And then, of course, if you're Trevor Lawrence monitoring this morning, you got to be pretty excited about the prospect of throwing to the big old boys on the outside and adding more weapons to your arsenal, right?
The rich get richer with this class. No question about that. Clemson's receiving corps getting a big boost. Joe Nada officially in. So that's it. We're done. That's it, Zach. We're going to call it a day. Clemson recruiting. It's over. Signing day. Can you believe that? It's not even 10:30 yet. And Clemson's signing day is complete. 26 names all signed and done. How about that?
We got Dabo on a podium right now talking at the at the facility. He's going to give his official press conference on one, but he's speaking right now about how, you know, how relatively unstressful today was and how enjoyable that is and how they can recruit the right type of player. Because, you know, Clemson is a brand that kids want that offer. They want to be able to say, I got an offer from Clemson. And he made it very clear in his little spiel just now. They're not going to get that unless they come see him. And they are adamant about recruiting the right player, not necessarily the best one every single time. And it kind of sets Clemson apart at this point in time around the country. And he's something he's really proud of.
You cannot argue with the way they go about things, the philosophy that Clemson's using, the success it continues to deliver each and every year now. And this recruiting class, as we had Anna Hickey on last segment, she told you this fits in with everything that Clemson wants, looks for, both on and off the field. She said you can just go down the list, and especially those you know, four-star type guys, they all sort of fit the mold of what it is Clemson is looking for. So another successful class. It's not completely wrapped up. It may be for today, for signing day, but there's plenty more still to come in terms of some decision-making. We told you Will Putnam is going to announce tomorrow the offensive lineman, probably between Florida State and Clemson. That would be a big get for the Tigers. He'll be announcing tomorrow afternoon, so we'll see what happens there. And then there's still a couple names out there, a couple players, a couple needs that Clemson still has. Anna Hickey broke that all down. If you missed any portion of that interview, go to WCCPFM.com, and we'll have that whole hour up for you shortly so you can go back and listen to what Anna had to say about a lot of these players. So the bow on the entire class, not wrapped yet, but early signing day itself, looks like it's pretty much over. No drama for the Tigers. 26 players are in. Before we get out here today, we'll run down that list again for you, let you know every name on it. For those of you in and out of the car, doing work, whatever, we'll get that list to you coming up here shortly. Also, we're going to be breaking down the Gamecocks a little bit more coming up with Hal McGranahan in the next segment. So let's go to the phone lines, get some calls in here. Jamie in Beach Island is up next. Hey, Jamie, how you doing today?
Hey, Brent. Brad, listen, I've got a question for you. You just hit it when you just said, I thought we could only sign 25 guys at a time, and we've got 26 kids in. And then you also said there's going to be some surprises in February. So what's going on there? If we've got 26 signed, what has to happen?
There's going to be some players leave early. You know that's going to happen, and I wanted to get to that today if we have a chance, see how that kind of fits in here. Look, the numbers should not be a concern. It always works itself out. Clemson prepared for what was going to be a really big class this year, and I think they know that some guys are probably going to head out. I mean, you got to think even Cleveland Furl, who said yesterday he's not saying that he's for sure gone yet, but I think some of that is he's trying to avoid some off-the-field pressures from some other people. That's a guy that you expect to go, and so that opens up scholarships. So they've done the numbers. They've crunched them plenty. Right. So I don't think Clemson will have a problem.
I still thought you could only sign 25 in a certain class, though.
No matter.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong there. Okay. Thank you, guys. Enjoy your show, and I'm glad it was a good day for us.
Thank you, Jamie. I appreciate you getting in today. We appreciate the call. If you want to get in, 654-7627. Things looking up pretty good for this class, and, you know, I don't know if there's going to be another, you know, possibly three. I'd say Cubs could get to 28 for, you know, and I know the numbers, as Anna said earlier, don't really matter. It's more about the need. But I wouldn't be surprised if this thing's 28 pretty quickly, as they're still after a few more between now and February, including Corvarus Crouch, who big time recruit, does sound more and more like Tennessee every day. I know that's the crystal ball on 24/7 is trending towards him going to play with Jeremy Pruitt when he does make his announcement at the All-American Bowl, I believe it is, coming up next month. Zach, anything? Give me some of your thoughts on this class. What are some of the standouts to you that from what Clemson's pulled off today?
For me, it starts first and foremost with Andrew Booth. I think he's probably consensus the highest rated prospect they bring in today. This is a kid that you know, Plyler talked this morning how he reminds him of AJ Terrell. And from length, that's probably a good comparison. As far as talent, what he brings to the field, to me, this reminds me an awful lot of what it felt like and what ultimately happened with Mackenzie Alexander, where they brought in this highly touted corner, and Brent Venables was able to leave him on one side of the field and roll coverages to the other side if they needed help or whatever. There was never a cautionary thing with Mackenzie Alexander. He was a great player from the get-go, essentially. If they can get that type of player in here, it only makes Venables and his defense that much more dangerous and effective on the field.
Yeah, I agree, and that's certainly a need. I mean, you know, this year's cornerbacks, it wasn't like they were – you know, they were concerned about them. They were concerned about the depth at that position. You know, I think whenever anybody – I'm sure Brent Venables probably held his breath quite a few times throughout the regular season when somebody went down. So they're going to address that. And if they lose Trayvon Mullen, which he could end up going pro, he said yesterday during Clemson's media day that, you know, if he gets a grade from the NFL advisory committee, that he's going to be a first or second round pick. He's out the door, and you certainly can't blame him for that. And if he doesn't get that first, second-round grade, he's coming back. So it's pretty clear what his intentions are and from that corner position. But if he does come back, it kind of allows these guys, you know, to kind of learn the system, come along slow. And, of course, they brought in a couple guys in this past class who ended up getting some playing time this year. So I think that this bodes well for the future for Clemson at DB. This was a big-time need, both at safety and corner. And you're right, I think Andrew Booth is a standout among those players. I do think he's a guy who will see snaps very early on.
Sure.
Extremely talented. I mean, what you turn on the film, the instincts the guy has, the ability to chase down pretty much every receiver that I saw him matched up against, I think it's on the field quickly.
You mentioned film there. I'm sitting here this morning when Latson turned in his letter of intent, I throw on his old highlights, and my goodness, the kid's unbelievable. And then we just had the news of Joseph, is it Ngata or Nada?
What's
the
Nada.
Nada. Joseph, yep. Nada getting his letter of intent in, and holy crap. he is not bad at this football thing, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch those two guys in the perimeter of that Clemson offense, or even the slot, as some of this film indicates, just wrecking havoc on defenses for 3 or 4 years to come.
Yeah, what do you make of those two guys? Any early comparisons you can make just by cutting on the film and seeing them?
Yeah, you know, early comparisons. This morning we talked a little bit about both of them, of course. And Ngata looks a little bit more of a guy that can high point the ball. And you mentioned Mike Williams a little bit while ago. I think that's a fair assessment of what he brings to the table. Plyler likened him to who's on campus already and Justin Ross and kind of pointed him out. And, if they want to bring a Justin Ross here to the upset again, I'm okay with that. I'm certainly not going to fight him on it. So it's going to be fun regardless. It's important that these guys understand that while the comparisons are fun and there's a deep and rich history of wide receiver talent here, they recruited Joseph Nada and Frank Latson to be Latson and Nada, not Mike Williams, not Justin Ross, R.T. Higgins. Right. These boys are individual players that are going to have a very successful career here if they can live to the potential.
There's just no drop off at this position, you know, and I mean, they're not even going to lose it. The only receiver they're going to lose, the receivers is of course Hunter Renfrow and Trevion Thompson, and they're going to bring these two guys in.
Sure.
It's just no place you see at this position where there is going to be a lull. And I just think Nada is very, very shifty, uses his feet well, his hips, turns well into the ball. I think he's going to be a matchup nightmare for a lot of people in the ACC. Yep. And Latson, I think, is just so big. I just like the way he uses his body, even though he hasn't put on the weight yet, his frame. It's very difficult for a smaller corner to get around him and get a hand on the ball.
It's a little bit weird as I'm looking at Nada. We'll get to Latson in 1 second. That's a good point about his frame. He needs to put on a little bit of weight, but it is difficult to get around him. Nada is a 5-star by Rivals, correct? 247 has a 4, and then ESPN has a 4 as well. ESPN has him as number 159 overall compared to 21 and 39 for Rivals and 247 respectively.
Wow.
What's the discrepancy there? Why is there such a wide gap between what Rivals and 247 bring and ESPN?
I have no idea. I don't try to figure out why some of these
gap.
Recruiting services.
159
it is
and
that's,
21 and 39. That's huge.
Yeah, that's bigger than you normally see. And I'd have to talk to someone from those specific recruiting services to figure that out. But regardless, you turn on the film and you see what kind of player he is. And Clemson continues just to do really well at that position. And I think that's that bodes well for the future. Let's get William from Georgia in here before we go to break and get to Hal McGranahan. Hey, William, how are you?
How's it going, guys?
Good. Good to hear from you.
That, the Nauta guy you recruit, is he any kin to Isaac Nauta? I'm just wondering.
No. No, it's spelled a little differently.
I didn't think he was. But I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on a couple of things, and I'm going to take it out there. I want to see what y'all think about the Justin Field transferring deal, and if y'all have heard anything that I don't know about Holyfield going pro. Because I have heard some buzz about I'm sorry.
Okay. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll take it off there and listen to you guys. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you. You too, and we appreciate you getting in today. Not really much else on Justin Fields that hadn't already probably been out there. It does sound like Ohio State is really in the market for him. Oklahoma, I think, is going to make a big push. He is in the NCAA portal, so he can be contacted now and looking to transfer. And Ohio State's in the market. Tate Martell is not their future quarterback. They've been rumored with Jalen Hurts. They've been rumored now with Justin Fields as being one of the teams that's going to really pursue him. So I'm very intrigued by what's going on with the Buckeyes. They don't think Haskins will be back. I don't think anyone thinks Haskins will be back. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of moves they end up making at Ohio State in the free agent market. That's what it is. It's a free agent market now with a lot of these 4- and 5-star type quarterbacks. Georgia did sign a player earlier today, Dwan Mathis, a 4-star guy. They flipped him from Ohio State to Georgia. I think that is very, very telling about what the Bulldogs plan to do. Hadn't really heard a whole lot about Holyfield in terms of his pro status. We'll ask Daniel Shirley about that tomorrow on the show, William, and I'll see if I can find out more information for you about that. Quick break. More to come from George Coleman Ford, including our good friend Helma Granahan from the Big Spur to break down the Gamecocks class. Back after this.
As you search for the ideal Christmas gift, trust Reed's Jewelers in Haywood Mall to have something for everyone on your list. From a Swiss watch for him to an exquisite diamond bracelet, necklace, or ring for her, Reed's Jewelers will put a smile on their face. North America's largest family-owned jeweler, offering 18 months deferred interest, granting Christmas wishes for years. Trust them to grant yours. Reed's Jewelers, Haywood Mall, next to Belk, online at Reed's.com.
When seconds count, a coach must have a team that can perform. The Tigers certainly proved that in the national championship game. You can expect the same from Priority One Security's local monitoring station. Break-ins happen in a matter of seconds. Well-trained, highly skilled operators' rapid response makes all the difference between a break-in and an attempted break-in. Trust in local monitoring from Priority One.
See us on the web at priority1security.com. 888-407-SAFE.
For over 30 years, one family has owned and operated Roto-Rooter, helping thousands of home and business owners like you. That's what they do 24/7, 365, with a real voice to talk to when your plumbing issues become their plumbing issues. Rest easy knowing Roto-Rooter is there for you, serving the upstate and western North Carolina for over 30 years. 288-7686, rotorooter.com.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
And away go troubles down the drain.
This is George Jeffries again with Metal Building Supply in Piedmont. Do you have nuts? Well, we do, and bolts, panels, trims, and all the accessories you would need to do that shed project or roof on your home. Give us a call and talk to Kevin Brown. We can offer the names of contractors in the area and help you with the materials you need to solve those problems on your commercial building or your home. That's Metal Building Supply, 1500 Elrod Road, just off exit 39 and I-85 in Piedmont. Or call 295-0506 and ask for Kevin.
Weather is changing. Get your vehicle ready for rain, ice, and snow with a new set of Yokohama tires from R&R Tire Express. It's easy. $20 gets you started with R&R Tire Express's Everyone's Approved 6-month Same as Cash program. Yokohama's durable technology keeps you safe on the road with all different road conditions. And at R&R, installation, flat repair, and roadside assistance, a $300 value, is absolutely free. Yokohama Tires, just $20 with R&R's 6-month Same as Cash. Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson. RNRTires.com.
Quag here for Hendrick Honda Easley. I've owned my Accord for several years, and I can tell you a Honda's the way to go. Hendrick Honda Easley has been in business 25 years, offering their customers a fair, fast, easy, and transparent experience. After you've purchased your new or pre-owned vehicle from Hendrick Honda Easley, believe me, their staff from service to finance is behind you 100%. See Hendrick Honda Easley online at HendrickHondaSC.com or in person at 4609 Calhoun Memorial Highway.
Big O Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram is your local family-owned automotive dealer in the upstate. Life, liberty, and happiness is what we're all about. Big O has a huge inventory of new and used vehicles at the lowest price. Cars, SUVs, minivans, Jeeps, and trucks, new and pre-owned. You name it, we've got it. Trust us to deliver your next vehicle today. Visit us online at BigOdodge.com or check us out in Greenville under that big American flag on the Motor Mile.
Are you confused about the right steps to take to secure the proper financial plan for your future? The independent advisors at Kiwi Financial Group in Clemson can guide you through every step. Options for fee-based planning allow you to invest with transparency and to know where every dollar goes. We offer sound, comprehensive advice with solutions to fit any investing appetite. Call Kiwi Financial Group today at 654-5043 or online at kiwifg.com.
The Press Box on 105.5 The Roar.
That's what we do!
Now, back to Brad and Ben.
Well, welcome back to George Coleman Ford in Traveler's Rest, where cars call. So do trucks. Get out here and check out their end-of-the-month truck sales. Get that F-150, that F-250, F-350, good for a tax write-off. If you're a business owner, now's the time to do it, because they're giving away some great deals on trucks out here in Traveler's Rest. George Coleman Ford, we appreciate them having us today as we break down National Signing Day, or National Early Signing Day, here in this middle of December, December 19th, right before Christmas. Still trying to get used to all of this. Let's bring on our good friend from the Big Spur. Hale McGranahan covers South Carolina, recruiting, all that over there for the great folks at the Big Spur. So we appreciate him making time for us on a very busy day. Hale McGranahan, how you doing?
Not too bad. How's it going up there, Brad?
Doing well, doing well. It's kind of a busy time, obviously, to get ready for Christmas, but, you know, knock out some recruiting. When I remember we talked last year, Hale, about this early signing day. I know it, things kind of wrapped up kind of easily, I guess, in some ways. And I just want to get your thoughts on now the second year of this, and you've seen a whole cycle go through, a couple cycles now go through the early signing period. Your thoughts on it, how beneficial it is for the high school prospects, and how beneficial it is for the football programs?
I think most folks involved with it, myself and other reporters, are part of that equation as well. I think most folks involved with the whole process are just happy that you don't really have to keep this thing going on for an extra 2 months, month and a half, whatever it is, before that first Wednesday in February. So it's kind of nice. That the guys who are ready to sign, and as we know by now, most guys who are committed to schools are ready to sign when December rolls around. We can just sort of get the formalities out of the way and just sort of move on to the next phase of recruiting. And since this whole timetable of college football recruiting is accelerated more than it was, say, 5 to 10 years ago, it's less of a headache, I guess, for me, less of a headache for guys like Will Muschamp or guys like Zach Pickens who can just kind of be done with it all and just sort of move on with life. So I'm all about it. I was all about it last year, loved it last year, still love it this year. And I think if you talk to most college football coaches, they probably love it or really like it at the very least.
I mean, I think we miss out on a little bit of the drama, but to be honest with you, I don't really miss some of that drama. I kind of like that things get done in an efficient manner now. We're able to really dive into these classes instead of playing the where's this guy going to go game for an extra 2 months.
Yeah, it is. You still get some of that to a degree, and it's been probably a little bit more of that on the national scale when you're seeing guys who are flipping or just flip from one school and going back to their original school. South Carolina had a few different guys come into the day that we were all following along at the Big Spur. It's the first one was Tyron Hopper, the linebacker. He's been committed to Florida and sort of firm, but still looking at South Carolina. But he's stuck with the Gators. And we got that kind of knocked out early on in the morning. Then going into Johnny Dixon's announcement a little after 8 a.m., we felt pretty good about South Carolina's chances there. And a little bit of a surprise with Matthew Bedford committing to Indiana, but we knew and shared with folks on the Big Spur all along that overcoming his commitment to Indiana, even though it's, you know, just Indiana, there's some loyalty in play there since they ran on him before South Carolina became a factor. But a little bit of drama, not too much, and certainly not as much as we've seen in years past when it was just a first Wednesday in February deal.
Right. Let's take a look at this class a little bit. Is it now 15 names, I believe, 15 people have signed, sent in their paperwork to sign with South Carolina? Is that the updated number?
I believe so. I believe so, yeah, unless somebody's come through since we've been on the phone. I think it's at 15 right now, 15 guys who have signed already, yeah.
How many more are you expecting yet? Ryan Helinski is one who's not got in, but you're still very confident he's going to be sending his paperwork soon.
Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah, there's nothing to worry about there, obviously, being on the West Coast, 3 hours behind. Little later start for him as it relates to us. But, yeah, he actually tweeted a picture a little while ago of him sitting down with his paperwork. So I got to think that's going to be coming through before too long. Jamar Brown, linebacker from down in Florida, he told me that he's already sent his in. So I guess it's probably just a matter of time before South Carolina announces him as an official member of this class. And the last one of the guys who are committed, Devontae Davis, the Georgia Military College, still waiting on his to come through as well. But I don't think there's anything to worry about there in terms of the strength of his commitment. There's some concern at one point whether or not he'd be able to enroll in January, but at last check, that's still on and all that. And, of course, another JUCO defensive lineman who's committed, Jakeem Green. We aren't expecting him to sign today, maybe in February, depending on Iowa's academic shakeout. But yeah, those are the four guys left who were committed and haven't sent in national letters of intent yet.
Anyone you're waiting on that hasn't made their decision of whether it be a commitment or a signee yet that you could hear about today? Or is this pretty much just all you're left to wait on?
This is pretty much it for the day. Eric Gray, the four-star running back from Tennessee in the Memphis area, he's not announcing his decision until tomorrow. But, of course, he's considered a heavy lean to Tennessee. But to answer your question, Brad, we're not expecting any action with him today and also not expecting any action with four-star cornerback Chris Steele, who's from California, even though he's not really a guy that's on the radar quite like he was over the last couple weeks or so. But yeah, that's pretty much it in terms of guys who are supposed to be deciding this early signing period and kind of closing on Steele. He's told folks that he's not going to announce his decision until the All-American game, which the former U.S. Army All-American game, which is, I think, the 4th or 5th of January. So it's not like we'd be hearing anything definite on him one way or the other.
Gotcha. Hale McGranahan from the Big Spur joining us here on the Press Box today. Make sure you go and follow him on Twitter, at Hale McGranahan, and go to the Big Spur. .com. Hale, let's dive into this class then. Take a look at kind of the ins and outs of this group. Will Muschamp is going to meet with the media, I believe, again today. He met with media yesterday. This looking like a top 20 class. Currently, the game class ranked 20th in the 24/7 Sports Composite Rankings. Does this class fit the needs? Do you feel like there's still some needs maybe that were either unaddressed or they're going to have to fill in later? Or do you like the group that Will Muschamp has landed already?
I do. You look at both lines of scrimmage, they've been able to add a lot of big-time recruits for that defensive line, an area where they obviously need some help. And having a couple junior college guys, you would think that those guys are able to maybe contribute a little bit earlier than, say, some of the freshmen. But when you look at who the freshmen are, you got a five-star, the first one. Muschamp has signed at South Carolina, Zach Pickens. Those guys are generally counted on as early impact types, and since he's coming in early, enrolling early, I should say, that he's going to be able to get in and get going and have a shot to at least be in that rotation on the Gamecocks front in 2019. Same thing with Joseph Anderson, not a five-star, obviously, high-end four-star, who is also enrolling early and going to have a chance to try to make an early impact. And there's still a spot or two left in the defensive backfield. I think they'd like to try to get at least one more for sure. I know there's a lot of angst on the message boards and probably talk radio airwaves about the linebacker situation and only signing two, and folks wondering if they don't get Hopper, who else are they going to try to get? I think they're just going to be content with the two. I mean, they're not losing anybody from last year's team, assuming Eldridge Thompson gets that extra year of eligibility granted. They're pretty full at that position, and so it's not like they needed a ton of numbers, but where they do need numbers, offensive and defensive lines, offensive line in particular, where they're losing a lot of seniors from this year's team, they were able to make some big-time additions there. And offensive line, the biggest of them all, Ja'Kai Moore, who's from Virginia, announced the other day that he was signing with South Carolina over Penn State, among a pretty significant list of offers.
Yeah, how did that come about? It seems like it was a pretty pleasant surprise for Muschamp to land Moore.
I don't know if I deem it a surprise. South Carolina sort of had an end there all along. His athletic director, Moore's athletic director at his high school up there in Virginia, Patriot High School, was college roommates with South Carolina's strength coach, Jeff Dillman. So having that little end there kind of helped the Gamecocks whenever they wanted to get him down for a visit. They were able to, for the most part, I think. Clemson folks who are listening know that there's a little bit of an issue getting him on the campus when there are several times when he said he was visiting. I don't know what that means, but when you've got a little bit of help that way, it certainly works to your advantage for South Carolina, and they made the most of that. And Eric Wolford should have started with him, honestly. He got them in on the ground floor, basically, with Ja'Kai Moore, and they were able to use that long-standing relationship and parlay it into a commitment and a signed national letter of intent this morning.
Yeah, you mentioned what they did up front along the offensive defensive lines. I believe it's 7 of the 15 signees currently play up front, and then they got 2 more commitments for South Carolina to play up front. So this is a big, big class, like literally, like big in terms of body size for the Gamecocks. What about some of the skill positions? You mentioned a Tyquan Johnson earlier. Obviously, Ryan Helinski is going to be coming in and seeing what he can do at quarterback. Do they have some guys who could maybe potentially play right away next year on the offensive end?
I think so. And I know a lot of people are anxious to see if Ryan Helinski is going to be that guy. I guess that's sort of the nature of the beast when you sign highly recruited four-star guys like Ryan Helinski, or like we've seen over the last 12 months with the Kerryon Joyner. Folks want to know if they're going to play, and as long as Jake Bentley's back, I got to think that Ryan Helinski, or any other quarterback in South Carolina for that matter, isn't going to be playing a whole lot in 2019. But there are some guys in that signing class that Helinski's a part of that I think will play, some of those skill guys. The one I think I kind of like the most is just a three-star in the 24/7 Sports composite, and that's tight end Traven Kenyon, who's from North Carolina. He's originally from the Monroe area, which is outside of Charlotte, but moved up to Wake Forest High School outside of Raleigh, where I believe that's where Dexter Lawrence went. And he just lit it up as a senior. I mean, caught 15 touchdown passes. The team had 20 touchdown passes. He had more than half their receiving yards. I mean, they only threw it about 10 times a game, and he had almost 900 yards receiving. So that tells you a little bit of something about the type of player he is. And by the way, I mean, they're one of the best teams in the state of North Carolina, state champion, I believe. So he's a highly productive player and a guy I think that is going to be able to step in and help out with that tight end group He's 6'3", 245. Another guy who's been rolling early. I mean, they're going to have more than 10 mid-year guys again, South Carolina is. So just another one of those bigger body guys who I think here in 6-7 months we're going to be talking even more about this guy as someone who can contribute to the Gamecocks in 2019.
Great stuff from Hale McGranahan, as always. Hale, thank you for getting us updated on breaking down all the South Carolina recruiting scene for us. We really appreciate it. Go to thebigspur.com. Plenty of stories, plenty of updates going on concerning this Gamecock class, real must champ. As always, Hale, we appreciate it. You do a great job covering recruiting, man.
Appreciate it, Brad. Thanks for having me. Y'all have a good one.
You as well. Follow him on Twitter, at Hale McGranahan. We appreciate his time today, again, on a very busy early signing day. Things about wrapped up for South Carolina. They're still waiting on a couple of the guys they're expecting to get in with their official letters of intent. So we'll pass those along if it happens during this show. But I think through and through a pretty solid class for Will Muschamp. Let's take another break from George Coleman Ford. Coming up next, Will Polacek from Sports Talk.